Welcome to the Communicate Influence podcast. Today I talk with Carl Robinson, a voice technology expert. Carl and I use his Rumble Studio to record this asynchronous interview. It's a great platform and I highly recommend it for its many uses, especially interviews across time zones. In this episode, Carl explores how marketing and communication agencies are using voice technology to connect with and enhance customer experiences. And if you don't know a lot about voice technology, Carl explains what it is, how you can get started with voice tech, and how to explore its potential. You can find links to Rumble Studio and Carl's LinkedIn profile in the show notes. And if you could do us a favor and review the Communicate Influence podcast to Apple, we'd be really grateful.
This episode of the Communicate Influence podcast is brought to you by PodMotion, a new podcast production and promotion agency. PodMotion specializes in solving the two big problems podcasters face: not knowing where to begin when wanting to launch a new show, and struggling to find the time to continue with an established show. Go to podmotion.co for details. That's PODMOTION.CO for details.
Hi, Carl. Thanks for doing this interview for the Communicate Influence podcast. Can you define voice technology for our listeners?
Hi, Sheila. Thanks very much for having me on the show. It'd be my pleasure to define voice technology as I see it. It's a very wide field. It encompasses a lot of different technologies. It's essentially about helping humans communicate with machines using their voices. This includes having the machine understand what humans say. There's technologies like speech to text and natural language understanding, which transcribe speech into text and then interpret that speech to determine the intent or the meaning behind it, respectively. There's also generative technologies. So you've probably heard of GPT-3 and also text-to-speech. These generate text and then can speak that text into speech audio so the machine can actually speak back to the human. And then there are other technologies that transform the speech, whether it comes from the machine or the human. So this includes speech-to-speech, voice transformation, and many more. I've worked personally on voice emotion transformation, so actually transforming the emotion in the voice, making the voice happier or sad. All of this falls under voice technology. People are most familiar with voice technology from smart speakers like Amazon Alexa or Google Assistant on your phone, but it's a much wider field than that. There's a big research community. Voice technologies are embedded into mobile apps these days and in embedded systems, in hardware as well. Things like voice biometrics, the ability to unlock things with your voice or even be able to detect whether you've got COVID or not just by speaking into a microphone and analyzing your voice. All of this comes under the banner of voice technology as well. It's a really fascinating field as it promises to one day allow us to talk naturally with machines on any topic. This is what really excites me. And in the shorter term, to be able to access complex digital services like robots, like self-driving cars and the like in a hands-free and effortless way. And this opens up technology to a much wider range of people and is just a really exciting and enjoyable technology to work with and discuss.
What's the state of voice technology in marketing and communications? And what I mean here is, what kind of technology is currently being used and for what purposes?
Well, it's still early days, and so you can imagine lots of brands are experimenting with voice technologies in different ways to determine what works, to discover and define best practices. Really, the industry is very active in working to find out exactly what works and what doesn't and share that information, which is why you get a lot of people appearing on podcasts such as mine, the Voice Tech Podcast, and others. And there are various movements, such as the Open Voice Network, for example, for sharing standards and defining those standards and then sharing them out amongst big players. But a few that come to mind, of course, call centers is a big one in terms of communications, at least. And you've got IVR, interactive voice response systems, being updated with natural language understanding, for example. You've got call analysis, so actually analyzing the audio that's recorded on those calls in either in real time or after the fact. There are now agent dashboards that can help support customer service agents as they're on the calls with customers. The software is now detecting the emotion in the customer's voice, can tell, you know, the agent whether they're likely to quit or not, and all these other kinds of things. I recently had a call with a company that's doing accent transformation, about transforming the accent of the agent, for example, to make it more familiar to the customer, and that can improve the results. So there's lots of things happening in call centers. It's a huge business, massive demand. So that's obviously a given. In terms of the more traditional kind of voice technology that people think of in terms of like smart speakers, there's obviously a lot of promotional campaigns and things designed to support existing advertising and branding work. There's a company called Skill Creative in the States. They work closely with Meredith Corporation. They have a lot of brands. And they produce custom apps and skills for various campaigns for them. So check those out if you want some specific examples there. And then, of course, there's content and discovery of that content through voice search. You know, more and more content's been found through voice search, whether we're asking our smart speakers, our phones, or whatever. And companies are now optimizing their web content for Google Assistant and the other smart speakers so that it's surfaced as a voice search result, whether it's some web page that you've created that's optimized for voice that's then synthesized with a text-to-speech engine and then read out through a smart speaker, whether it's actual audio content that you, the brand, produce yourselves, like a podcast or a microcast, which is then returned by Google asked for on demand by the end user and then streamed on a voice device. And so those are examples of marketing content. There's also skills specifically designed to inform customers about their products and services. So if you have a specific question about the product or service and that company has taken, made the effort to actually produce some audio content or some audio or some voice optimized web content that can answer questions about their products and services, that will also be surfaced through these voice enabled devices. There are startups that cater specifically for certain types of physical venues like sports, stadiums or shops, or indeed at the home, to be able to answer these things, whether it's an audio FAQ or the like. So it's pretty broad. But like I was saying at the beginning, people are still experimenting with this stuff, and the number of use cases is growing all the time.
Do you believe that marketing agencies and communication agencies should be training their staff to become voice interaction designers?
Yes and no. It depends on the needs of their customers and the amount of requests that they're getting for voice work. There are many great voice agencies out there. Designing for voice is an art in itself, and it's not the same as building a website or a mobile app. So I would say approach with caution, thinking you can do it all yourself from the get-go. If you do go down the route of trying to do it yourself as an agency and provide those services, then I absolutely do recommend training. And there's a fantastic organization called the Conversation Design Institute, which is helping to define the standards of voice interaction and then putting those in really easy to access online courses. If you want to check that out, you can. I've got a link, actually. It's voicetechpodcast.com/CDI. If you just go there, you can find out about all the courses, and you also get a discount as well, thanks to my podcast. I would say that check out some self-service tools like VoiceFlow, for example, and have a play, because you can play with these things for free just to get a taste of what it takes to produce a simple app. But don't underestimate the amount of work it is to create something high quality, and definitely do consider some of the agencies out there or even the freelancers that offer some of this stuff, because these guys work with it day in, day out. At a minimum, I think that agencies should educate themselves about what is possible with voice. And that means reading, listening to podcasts, discussing, going to events and everything. There's the voice first community, as it's called, is very active, very welcoming. And anyone who asks a question on Twitter, if you just put hashtag voice first, or you ping some of the people who are active on Twitter around voice technologies, you'll definitely get people helping you out and answering your questions. But definitely find out what is possible now, what's on the horizon, what's coming up as well, and educate yourself so you don't get caught out, because voice is coming. In fact, it's already here, and it's only going to get bigger over time as the technology develops and matures. This is not a flash in the pan technology. This is a serious thing that's going to change the way that we interact with all the devices around us, big or small. And so it behooves you to know what's coming. Similar with blockchain and all these other emerging technologies, they're a little bit niche until they're not. And I strongly believe that the voice is one of those. So yeah, definitely check out all the resources that are available, and maybe take a course as well if you really want to get into it.
voice technology and storytelling are advancing at a rapid rate, and your own Voice Tech podcast, episode 81, explores this in an interview with Christian Mahnke, founder of Ear Reality. How do you foresee interactive storytelling impacting consumers in coming years?
So it's a really interesting question. I think in general, because of the functionality offered by voice assistants, voice interfaces being interactive primarily, then conversations with brands will move from consumers navigating and consuming large amounts of information that's just there, ready and waiting for them on the web or, you know, on YouTube, for example, in video format, and then having very transactional, simple voice commands in order to be able to access services, via voice, to one where consumers will discover information and content bit by bit and negotiate their way to their desired outcome through voice interfaces, consuming the content and having these microtransactions along the way. And so I think things are going to become a lot more sophisticated. In the voice world, we use the word natural. I don't know whether it will necessarily be natural right at the beginning. These things will be designed. But the idea is to definitely provide a richer experience and something that's more personalized towards the user and to make them feel they've got more agency in determining their outcome, as opposed to being spoon-fed, you know, the same content and the same experience as everyone else. We're already seeing this in interactive ads. There are many companies, but one called Instreamatic. I believe there's another called Nova Entertainment that are doing these interactive ads where you have a say in whether you want to hear more of the ad, and then you can activate certain functionality at the end of it to continue and to find out more. Like you say, with Christian Mahnke, there are interactive storytelling tools now that, you know, you can engage with and you can provide to your customers, which are, you know, massively engaging and really, really interesting. And like I say, all of these tools and more that are coming out provide a more personalized, more impactful experience for the customer. They tie, you know, the customer to your brand more closely and in a more an emotional way. But they are, I say, more complex to build. You know, rather than a one-size-fits-all website, you're going to have to think about how are the different customer segments going to access this single voice experience, or do I create multiple voice experiences for these different profiles? And what do I expect each of these customer types to get out of the experience at the end of it? So, you know, it's very new, but it's exciting, and I think there's a lot that can be achieved. And certainly it's very consumer friendly. I believe there's, you know, rather than spoon feeding and force feeding people a voice, you know, adverts, and like on the radio, for example, where you have to listen to it, interactive ads give you the choice whether you want to listen to it or not. And rather than force people down one storyline, interactive stories give people the choice to navigate the story that appeals to them the most. So I think it's a fantastic technology, and I'm really excited to see what people create with it.
What kind of applications have the potential to be fulfilled in coming years in the marketing and PR industries?
I think one of the big opportunities for marketers is to take advantage of the increasingly tight integration with existing devices and content channels. You know, I previously spoke about interactive ads through Pandora, which is a music streaming service, but we're seeing more and more voice-enabled features on smartphones when using our apps. These are, you know, there are opportunities to communicate with voice interfaces while watching a smart TV, for example, to access services based on what you see on the screen. And even radio, there's a company called Say It Now, run by Charlie Cabri, who's actually running marketing campaigns on smart speakers that are linked to adverts that are run on traditional radio. I think he started with charity donations, where you hear the ad on the radio, and then you can immediately speak to your smart speaker and actually make a donation there and then. So there's zero friction. And I think that he's now extended that out to marketing campaigns for different brands as well, which is just one of many examples of really innovative marketing uses that you just wouldn't be able to do before the time where everybody had one of these voice interfaces within earshot, I should say. We're at arm's length. We've now got one in every room. We've got a smartphone with us. And so we're really never far away from one of these microphones that can understand what we're saying and interact with the digital services that are connected to them. On the PR side, I'm not so sure. It's not an industry I know that well, so you probably have to speak to somebody who knows the industry better than me. PR is all about getting clients into well-known publications. I think an example that we have with Rumble Studio, because we work with some PR people who are looking to get their clients onto podcasts, is to have the PR agent representative more involved in the content creation themselves. So, for example, when we create a podcast with an expert, and we work with the PR person first and foremost, they're actually involved in reviewing the questions that we send over in an asynchronous fashion on Rumble Studio, for example. So, you know, as opposed to a live podcast where it's very much like, here's the guest, run the interview as you like, and then we'll have a listen to the audio once it's done. The PR person can actually have a much more active role, and therefore, you know, have a chance to shape the message before it actually gets recorded. And that's just an example of how voice technology and certainly asynchronous content recording can actually help in the PR industry as well.
What words of guidance do you have for people starting out in PR and marketing when it comes to voice tech?
I think you need to be quite strategic and also manage your own expectations at the beginning. Define a goal, however small, and make a plan. So, you know, determine who you're targeting, what your aim is, through what channels that you're going to market this voice experience. What will you measure and what does success look like? And then start small and see it as a learning experience. You can go bit by bit. You don't have to boil the ocean and do everything all at once. I would also say, you know, with regards to the whole learning experience, don't underestimate the value of the voice data that you capture through whatever voice interface that you do implement. Obviously, it can be used to improve the performance of your you know, voice app itself. But analyzing the voice data can really provide a lot of insights into your customers and inform your product and marketing strategies as well. And so I would say start small, look at it as a way to capture some data and learn both how to create the app and also what your customers want and how they use it, and then plan the next step.
My last question, Carl, are there any other considerations that marketers and comms professionals need to keep in mind around the use of voice-activated devices and platforms?
So the first thing I would say is that voice AI can appear to be smarter than it is, as it's not only supposed to be artificial intelligence, but it also talks like a real person too. And so when you're looking to gain buy-in from internal stakeholders in your organization or your customers, it can help to set expectations so they're not disappointed with the result. That said, the industry is moving very fast and technology is improving at breakneck speed. And to keep up with the changes, it can help to work with a professional, an agency, a technologist, a developer, people who work with this technology day to day, so you don't miss out on the latest techniques, latest tools, etc. The last bit of advice I would say is to start now. You can gain a genuine advantage over your competition because voice has the power to engage audiences and specifically to build usage habits that can make your brand a regular part of your customers' lives. Now, remember, your customers only have a limited amount of attention that they can dedicate to these activities every day. You really want, you know, your brand to be part of their lives on a regular basis and to actually prevent your competition from occupying that space in their day. So start small, experiment with the technology, but do start because that will give you a leg up over your competition.